Anyway, man, you guys are looking good today. It's good to see you here on Labor Day weekend. If you don't know where you are, you're in Red Life Church. If you don't know where you're watching, there you're here with Red Life Church. And man, we're thankful to have you with us this morning on this holiday weekend. We're going to dig into a new series here in just a moment. Did I dismiss the kids yet? I feel like I did, so I think we're good to go there. Sorry, I'm just fooling around here with some technology. There we go. We're going to begin a new series this morning. But before we get into that, if this is your first time here, if it's your first time either in the building or first time online, I encourage you to go to redlifechurch.com right now. Right in the middle of the page, it says, are you new to Red Life? Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you've been for a while, maybe been a few times, but you've never taken that next step. If you've never gotten a communication from us or from me to say hello, man, we would love to be able to do that today. That would be your offering to us. We'd appreciate that. And so that's available, man. If you're looking for information about anything in the church, most of it can be found at redlifechurch.com. Links to all of our social media, links to all of that, talk about kids and all that stuff. And we're going to pray here in just a moment. I'm just going to believe God to move and minister in a powerful way. I want to thank you also for your offering, for your giving, for your faithfulness in that. And I know some people may say, well, man, I don't know about that giving stuff. I don't know about that tithe stuff. Inflation's going crazy. The price of a gallon of milk is double what it used to be and all that. And I don't know if I can afford to give. I got to be honest, in my family, this is what we've decided. We can't afford not to give. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. I can't afford not to be faithful. But here's the principle that you need to understand about tithing. You say, well, you may not even know what a tithe is. A tithe is simply a fancy church word for tenth, okay? This is the promise we have in Scripture. Listen to me close. Don't miss this, okay? Because this will change your life. When you begin to put these kind of steps of faith in practice in your life, these are practical steps that make real change in your life, and you will see God move, okay? God said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 of the Old Testament, this is a principle laid out throughout all the Old Testament, from before Moses, before the law. But this is the promise we have, okay? Malachi 3, verse 10, God said, if you will trust me with the tithe, he said, trust me. In fact, God said, test me. Only place in Scripture God ever says, test me, okay? But God said, in this one area, I will allow you, said, test me in this. Trust me with the whole tithe. Trust me with 10% of what I'm giving to you. And he said, watch and see if I will not throw open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Amen, somebody? Let's share right now. This is not something I'm preaching you to tell you to do this. Something my wife and I and my family have lived since I was, my parents instilled this into me, man. From the first newspaper route I ever had, and I collected $100, they said, 10 of this belongs to God. Don't touch it. Give it to the Lord. Amen. And I'm faithful for that. I'm thankful for that upbringing, for that discipline in my life. The first bill that comes out of my paycheck, the first bill that we ever write and pay is our tithe. We sow and give to God. Why? Because I can't afford to not live without the blessings of God. I can't afford to not live without the windows of heaven open. And so, man, some of you, that might be the next place that God is leading you to trust him. That might be the next step. You know, we talk a lot about next step. Our goal here is reaching, encouraging, and discipling. Well, discipleship simply means taking another step in your walk with God. And man, a first step is coming to Jesus, coming to faith in Christ, receiving salvation, getting in the Word, belonging, becoming a part of the family of God in church. And man, another part of that walk with God is learning to trust him in the area of finances. And man, when you do that, God, you will see God show up in your life in ways you never thought imaginable. And I'm not sharing that to try to twist your arm or get you to give. I just want you to know what happens when you're obedient and when you give, what we can believe and what we can expect for. Amen. And so giving boxes are back there. All the online options on the bottom of our website at redlifechurch.com, texting, PayPal. We thank you so much for your faithfulness in that area and for making this mission and this vision possible every single Sunday. Amen, somebody? Amen. We're starting a brand new series. You know what? I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to read it from the screen, so if you can put that up there, and then we're going to pray. We're going to dig in here. Psalm chapter 23, the first three verses. Psalm chapter 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And other translations with that will say, he refreshes my soul. Everybody say, he refreshes my soul. Say, he refreshes my soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this time, for this moment today, right now, God. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to move powerfully. And God, we just ask you to bless this time we have together in your word today, Father. I pray that you open up our hearts and minds to hear, to receive, and to hear everything that you want us to receive and to hear, Father, in Jesus' name. Will you do me a favor? Will you put your hand on your belly somewhere and just repeat this after me? Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, now, some of you opened your eyes like, whoa, what happened? We're going to do something a little different this morning. We're starting this series that we're going to be in for the whole rest of this month. It's called Post-Traumatic Stress Freedom. And today I want to take do something a little different. And the reason I'm sitting down is so that I don't get excited. I don't want to preach and I don't want to shout and I don't want to run around the building this morning. I just want to sit down. And today we're going to have a little bit of a family meeting, if you will. Is that okay? Anybody that had a family meeting when you was growing up? I remember sometimes we had to sit around in the living room, and it was amazing as a kid growing up. Usually when we had a family meeting, it was to talk about some stuff that I did that was wrong, and we had to deal with it. This is not that type of family meeting today. But I just want to have a moment to kind of sit, and I want to talk to you this morning as we intro this series and dig into some ideas that we don't talk about in church very often. I know we haven't here at Red Life very often, but we probably should a little more than we have. And I want to start off by just asking this simple question to every single one of us. You don't have to answer, but this is the question we're asking ourselves right now. How is your soul? How's your soul? You say, well, what is my soul? I thought my soul was that thing that goes to heaven. It is. But your soul is really the entirety of your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions. That all is your soul. You have a spirit on the inside of you that is the God-breathed life force from heaven that is inside of you. We have this body, this flesh, and in between the flesh and the spirit, we have our soul, our mind, our heart, our will, our emotions. It's the part of us that reasons. It's the part of us that thinks. It's the part of us that feels. It is our soul that connects with God. It is our soul that feels the presence of God in worship. It is our soul that feels hurt and that feels wounded. It's our soul that feels joy, that feels excitement. And the question I want to ask us today is, how is your soul? How's your soul? Let me ask you this. Have you in the last maybe 6 months, maybe in the last couple of years, have you noticed yourself feeling more exhausted than ever before, regardless of how much rest and sleep you get? Like, you can nap. You can take a nap every day. You can get 8 hours a day and still you wake up feeling exhausted. You never seem to feel rested. Do you find yourself feeling detached recently? Just like not connected to the things you used to, not as caring as you used to. Things just aren't you just kind of, another way for that might be, have you find yourself just feeling numb to things? You know, you find out a horrific thing's happening. There's no effect on you. Somebody says you just allowed yourself to build up a numbness or a wall. Are you feeling guarded around people? Do you find it hard to share what's really on your mind because you don't trust maybe even people that you once trusted? Maybe even people that are close to you that you should be in a trusting world, but you find yourself all of a sudden realizing and not maybe afraid and not trusting enough to be able to share what's really going on. You find yourself guarded. Do you find yourself, have you in the last couple of years, if you're honest and take a look back, could you say that you're more irritable or more on edge, maybe even more emotional than you used to? Maybe things trigger you and you find yourself reacting emotionally to things that maybe you didn't used to, or maybe you just feel just a heightened sense of pressure and anxiety about the future, about tomorrow, than you used to, and you're noticing that have an effect on your life. And then another question, and I know I'm going to ask probably more questions today. We're going to answer them over the next few weeks, but I'm going to ask a lot of questions today, all related to how is your soul. The other question I want to ask, has it been difficult maybe to connect with God where you used to be able to? You find it difficult to concentrate on reading scripture. You come to church like you always have, and the worship team is still here, and the presence of God is still here, and you see, and maybe you just haven't been able to connect and haven't been able to feel and haven't been able to connect with God, or maybe even connect with church family or other people or your actual family like you know you should, and maybe even like you used to be able to, but it just seems like there's a wall up, there's a division up, something has been severed. Here's the thing, let me tell you something. And this is maybe not true, but if you've been feeling that way, especially over the last couple of years, I just want to tell you something. Listen, you're not crazy, okay? You're not crazy, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not crazy, okay? Even if you know they are, go ahead and tell them anyway. Even if like, well, this guy really is, like, you don't know my husband. He really is crazy. Okay, well, in this instance, we're not crazy. Here's the deal. If that's something that you've been struck, if those questions are like, man, I really have felt that way like recently over the last, even just the last couple of years, that really some of those areas have really been problems in my life. Listen, you're not crazy, and and you're not alone, okay? Let me say that to you too. You're not crazy, you haven't lost your mind, and you're not alone. There's a really good chance that many of us watching, and there's a really good chance that many of us in this room, there's a really good chance that all of us on some level, listen, you're not crazy, you haven't lost your mind, and you're not alone. And the reality is that many of us, some of you are going to realize it over the next few weeks, some of you are going to realize it today because we're going to start peeling back the curtain on this a little bit. Many of you right now, without maybe have even realized it, and I'm talking to myself too, we might be suffering from post-traumatic stress, okay? Post-traumatic stress. Everybody say post-traumatic stress, okay? Now, I know we think about that as usually something that people, soldiers obviously are probably the most famous group of people that we know experience this. They come back from wartime and their brain was rewired to handle the stress of a combat situation. And so you have to figure out how to deal with that. But here's the thing, and you may say, well, I don't feel stressed out, preacher. I don't feel like I've even gone through this. I'm feeling that. Here's where the tension might lie. You might say, well, I answer yes to a bunch of those questions. Those check a lot of boxes that I've been feeling. But man, I don't really feel stressed out, and I don't really know. I haven't been to combat. I haven't been to war. I haven't experienced some great, crazy trauma, and I don't feel stressed out. Here's what you need to understand. Listen, you can experience the symptoms of traumatic stress without necessarily feeling stressed. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, here's what you need to understand about the trauma we're talking about. Now, listen to me very close, because this is where we are. This is why you might have said yes to a bunch of these questions. This is why you might be looking around thinking, man, the whole world has lost its ever-loving mind. You ever thought that? Like, have you felt that more recently than you ever? I'll be honest. You think that was a weird place to applause, but okay. We'll take it. I normally feel like I'm the most normal person in the room. You know what I mean? All my life, I've usually felt like you're the problem, not me. You know what I mean? Like, I've got it figured out and you're probably wrong. You know what I'm saying? And I know that that's a completely prideful and narcissistic way to look at life. And that's something that I've got to bring to God and surrender all the time. But that's where, you know what I mean? But I mean, like, even, and maybe you have that feeling about yourself as well, but it's like even more people are like losing their mind. You know what I mean? Like, here's actually a really kind of funny statistic to think about. But in 2019, airlines reported about 120 like airline incidents a year. How many of you ever seen one of like an airline incident video? You know what I mean? Where like somebody refuses to wear a mask and they cause a big fuss and they won't let the plane take it, or there's a big, you know, somebody has to, they have to kick somebody off of a plane or something. I'm not going to get into that. But okay, so in 2019, and that number stayed pretty steady for like most of like airline history. All of a sudden, in 2020, 2021, that number of 120 jumped to about 500 incidents a year. You know what I mean? And I think a reason for this is, listen, people are stressed out. We are all dealing with post-traumatic stress, and let me explain that. Listen, now we all know that the last couple of years since 2020 have been a little weird, have they not? Right? I mean, they've been a little wild. We've experienced some crazy things, okay? This is what's known. This is what psychologists are they're beginning to study this now. Now we have a couple years of data on this. This global pandemic that we all live through, this thing that we call COVID-19, it is what's known as, and this is a scientific term, it is an ongoing global stressor, or otherwise known as a global traumatic event, okay? We have, every single person on the planet, everyone in this room, everyone watching, we have all lived through, and because you're still here today, we have survived basically 2 years of a heightened state of stress that we haven't ever had to live through or suffer through in our lifetime, okay? So if you, when you started saying, man, I feel, I'm checking yes to a bunch of those questions. I'm feeling exhausted. I'm feeling checked out. I'm feeling numb. I don't have an excuse for it. I don't have a reason for it. I haven't been to war. I haven't experienced some great trauma in my life. Here's the deal. You actually have. And not only you have, literally every single person on the planet, the entire human population right now, have all for the last 2 years been living with a traumatic level of stress, okay? I mean, we were running out of toilet paper a couple of years ago. You know, like that stresses me out, man. You know? Like I still can't find wrinkle release on shelves. Anybody use wrinkle release? Any other wrinkle release? You know what wrinkle release is? You spray it on your clothes, you spray it on a shirt, you don't have to iron it. I haven't ironed a shirt in 15 years since I discovered that product, okay? And I'm dead serious. And I'm probably never gonna iron a shirt again if I can help it. But man, we couldn't find it on the shelves. If I go to Dollar Store right now today and they have, I will buy every bottle on the shelf right now because I'm not, you know what I mean? We're still dealing with some of the effects of that, right? And here's what you understand. There has been a significant, listen to me, a significant emotional toll placed upon every single one of us today that are here over the last 2 years. The emotional toll that we really can't even put into words and will really never be able to really probably put a number on. Think about this. The emotional toll a couple of years ago of being told, hey, you got to stay away from people because they might be sick and you might die. Okay? And we can laugh that off and if you don't, that was all nonsense and that, okay, I don't care where you fall on COVID. I don't care what you believe about any of that. But the reality is that has created the emotional toll of being told, not only being told, hey, you got to stay away from people because they might make you sick and die, or on the flip side, being told, hey, you got to stay away from people because you might be sick and not even know it, and you might kill somebody else. Well, without whether you even realize it or not, what we did was tell everybody, hey, people are the enemy, and you might even be the enemy. You might not even know it right now, okay? And that kind of thinking and being bombarded with that type of messaging and being told that over an extended period of time has an emotional effect on you, whether you realize it or not. You follow me so far? Okay. The idea that you are the enemy and you might bring something into my house or bring something into my family, that has a toll. And then on top of that, when we're all told to wear masks, and again, I'm not arguing whether or not we should wear masks or not, but the reality is that spending a significant amount of time seeing everybody in stores wearing a mask, you know what that does? When you can't see people's faces, you know what happens? It dehumanizes them. So for about a year, for a few months, for even the last couple of years in some places. I mean, there's some places where they're still wearing masks. I walked into a place the other day, I was like, oh, we're still, it's like now it's almost weird to see somebody still wearing a mask, but you're like, okay, I guess we're still wearing masks here, whatever. But you know what that does? That, whether you realize it or not, that has taken an effect on your psyche, that's taken an effect on your heart. It's taking an effect on your soul. It's taking an effect on your emotions, whether it's a fear of people, being anxious of being around people, or whether it's being able to just dehumanize everyone and look at everyone as a potential enemy, as a potential threat. That has a weight on your soul. Okay? You follow me so far? Studies are coming out now since the pandemic, since the height of COVID-19, and this is what people who are smarter than me are understanding, okay, is this. COVID-19 is in fact having mass PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, effects on a huge segment of the population, okay? So, and not only is it creating traumatic stress and emotional stress and anxiety and having a toll on people's emotions who are otherwise healthy emotionally, it's also at the same time exasperating people who already struggle with anxiety, who already struggle with mental health, who already struggle with some of these issues. It's magnifying it and blowing it up. So it's making people who often were otherwise probably mentally healthy have problems that they've got to deal with, and it's making people who already were struggling in that area even worse. That's why you're looking around going, man, the whole world has lost its mind, because in a lot of truth is that a lot of us have. And we didn't even realize it because it was slow and it took effect, okay? Are you following me so far? And now that's the corporate stress. That's the corporate, and that's the big numbers of what's going on throughout the world. But then to top that off, we've been dealing with these corporate, and this is just COVID-19. I'm not even talking about in our own nation the things that we dealt with over the last couple of years, an insane election cycle, and we've got another one ramping up here in a couple of years. George Floyd and race relations and systemic racism and trying to fix those issues and deal with those issues and having and all of that division and all of that stuff. Listen, that's all stress that's been added on top of what has already been a historically, globally stressing and trauma-inducing event, okay? And that's what's going on to all of us collectively. And at the same time, while we're trying to figure out how to live in this new world and how to figure all these big, giant collective issues out, many of us have suffered personal trauma, personal loss, either as an indirect or a direct result of this global catastrophe and this global situation. Like, I think about this now even more than ever. You know, I lost my mom a few months ago, and many of you know that. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have lost her at the height of the pandemic when we couldn't have a funeral, or we couldn't have a celebration of life, and we couldn't get together and be with one another and celebrate the way and honor her life the way they wanted to. I can't imagine the idea of losing a loved one and not being able to really say goodbye and put it to bed. That's crazy to me, man. And yet there are millions of people all across the world that have had to deal with that and have had to figure that out. Some of you had job changes and lost jobs and changed jobs. Some of you, this global stress caused the type of personal stress that has caused you to possibly lose marriages, lose relationships, lose friendships. So we're dealing with global stress and this global stuff, and it trickles down to these personal issues, big changes, and you might be thinking, listen, if you're thinking, well, hey, that's not me, I'm feeling okay, I didn't answer yes to any of those questions, man. Praise God, and I mean that. Praise God for you, and I'm glad you're handling it well, but this may be helpful for you to understand that this is what your neighbors are going through, and this is what your kids are going through. This is what the people you're working with are going through. This is what your family members and your friends are going through. Amen, somebody? And so, even if it may not be for me personally, I hope it'll give me some understanding and hopefully some compassion to be a little more patient and to extend a little more grace with the people around me, because this is what we're dealing with. Amen, somebody? Okay? A Christian therapist and author by the name of John Eldridge, you're going to hear his name come up a couple times in the next few weeks. He said it this way. He said in an interview, he said, the world is tapped out. People are tapped out right now. Okay? People are tapped out. Here's what we're talking about. Listen. The reason that soldiers, when they get into a combat situation, will suffer from post-traumatic stress is because when you get into a stressful situation, whether it's a combat, whether it's a fight, whether it's an argument, whether it's a global pandemic and things are moving and shifting, here's what happened for all of us during COVID-19. The world on a dime changed. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you woke up one day and like everything was different, right? And it was wild. And all of a sudden, we had to adjust and shift and change to meet the new level and to figure out how we were going to survive and how to get through it. And what happens is, the same thing happens in combat. What happens is your adrenaline rises in your mind, in your body, and your adrenaline pumps through your veins, and you get the energy and you get the focus to change what you need to change, to survive what you need to survive, to make it through that combat situation, to make it through that stressor, to make it through that trauma, whatever's causing the stress, and your adrenaline is raised. And here's the thing. We have all, for the last really couple of years, we have all been operating out of our adrenaline and at a heightened state that we're not created to, used to, or designed to operate at. Okay? And so when heightened stress comes into my life, adrenaline will begin to pump, and I will begin to force myself, and I will survive the trauma, I will survive the change, I will survive the shift. But what happens is, after I get through that and I get on the other side of the initial trauma, my adrenaline goes away, and here's what happens. Listen, extended levels of stress deplete your reserves. Okay? Extended levels of stress will deplete my reserves. And friends, we have been living in a heightened state of stress, whether you have felt it or realized it, or that's what you called it, that's what you put your finger on or not. We have all been living in a heightened state of stress for the last couple of years, ongoing into a third kind of wild year, and we wonder why we're empty. You wonder why we're exhausted. You wonder why you feel worn out. You wonder why there's not enough naps you can take. There's not enough coffee you can drink. There's not enough Red Bull you can down. You know, there's not enough B vitamins. I don't know what your go-to energy source is, but you just can't get enough of it, right? And you're still exhausted. You know why? Here is probably why. Because adrenaline gets us through the trauma, but I've got to recognize that to get through the trauma, I had to tap into my reserves, and now my reserves are empty. And that's why it's called post-traumatic stress disorder. Because we survived the trauma, we get through the thing that was trying to kill us, we get through the thing and we figure out how to get that done, but then it's the after effect that actually usually causes the destruction. And a lot of times, listen, that destruction will happen because we try to just go back to normal without taking the time to refill our reserves. Okay? Let me say it this way. You can't just go back to normal on empty. I feel the Holy Spirit right now. We can't go back to normal on empty. Some of us, man, are wondering why. It's been 2 years now. I'm back to work, back to school, back to all this stuff. Why do I still feel so drained? Why do I still feel so bankrupt? Why do I still feel so afraid? Why do I still feel so anxious? I think it probably has to do with, what the whole world tried to do is just go, oh, well, it's over now, so we can all just go back to the thing. And we haven't, as a group of people, and a lot of us individually, I know myself included, probably hadn't and didn't take the time to allow some breathing room between the time we just went. Because here's the reality, family. If we're honest, the schedules and the lives and the pace that we were probably living even before COVID-19 changed, threw everything upside down, was honestly killing many of us. It was really, for most of us, unsustainable for a healthy soul. I'm not saying you couldn't be successful. I'm not saying you couldn't make a lot of money. I'm not saying you couldn't live and have a good life and have a good family and all that. But I'm saying those things were taking a, if we're not building into our life some areas to rebuild and refresh or replenish my soul, many of our paces were unsustainable for a long-term healthy heart. And then all of that just exasperated it to the umpteenth degree. And then we just said, well, we just want to get back to normal. So we went back to normal, not realizing that we had completely emptied ourselves to get through the trauma that we just went through. And now we're back to normal. And it's like, the food has just lost its taste. It's lost its savor. It's not what it used to be. You know what I mean? You wonder why that's going on. Here's some big red flags for me. And we've got to start recognizing red flags. And I'll just be honest, I'm telling you this as your pastor, and I'm sharing this, and listen, I'm just a preacher. I'm not a therapist. I'm not going to be able to prescribe medicine to you or anything except what's in this book, okay? And I'm just being honest about my own journey and things that really I'm sharing with you, things that over the last few months even God is beginning to do in me personally. If I'm honest, there were traumatic events that have taken place in my life even years before the pandemic that all of a sudden that, guess what happens? You get into a heightened stress and then all that, and then that begins to start. You thought you had it killed. You thought you were able to bury it. You were able to live with it. But then you get into a heightened stressful situation and you're emptying your reserves to deal with that trauma. And then you don't have anything the energy you were using to keep that thing buried, right? Now you don't have the energy to keep that thing buried anymore. Now it's right back to the surface. And you're like, man, this thing was years ago. Why am I struggling with this? Like the fact that I'm tearing up even about to share something with you is a red flag to me. Like, God, I need you to refresh my soul in this area. Like, I'm going to tell you, there was a situation that happened in this church years ago. And it really has been a long time. But a disagreement happened with a family that was a real integral part of the beginning of this of Red Life Church, and we ended up having a pretty sharp disagreement, and they ended up getting mad and leaving, and there were words that were said, and things happened. Man, that had I've been in ministry my whole life, and for whatever reason, that thing just cut me to my core. I still can't talk to you. I'm not even going into details. I can't even talk to you about it without me tearing up. Here's the thing. That literally has been years and years and years ago, years before COVID, years before all that. And I can't talk about that without crying. And I'm not afraid to show. I'm not a man who's afraid to show emotion. I will show emotions. Okay. I'm not afraid to cry. So I'm not worried about crying. But the red flag to me is, man, God, if I am still this raw about a thing and a hurt that happened a long, long, long time ago, God, my heart needs healed. My soul. There's something that happened to my soul. I need to be refreshed. And that's just a red flag for me. I don't know what your red flag is. What I want us to do is I want us to take some time and ask God, and pay attention and listen and open our ears. Say, God, let's pay attention to the red flags that are popping up in this time. Because those red flags, yeah, they may hurt. Yeah, I hate having to get up here in front of you all and cry like a baby and be this vulnerable. But the reality, and I don't even want to go and visit that place. I don't want to go and visit that trauma, and I don't want to, thanks, bud. I don't want to go and visit that hurt necessarily. I don't. But I also know I can't, I got to let God deal with it. Amen? And sometimes the shepherd might lead me somewhere, and now I'm getting ahead of myself. Here's the good news. Listen, here's the good news. Okay, I know this has been like a down moment. We're going to end on a good note. Listen. The reason I read Psalm 23, because it talks about Jesus being the shepherd. Okay, this is the good part. This is where the hope comes in. You say, man, whew. So some of you, like, the Holy Spirit is, like, just bringing revelation to you, and it's not a great amen. It's not like, oh, hey, here we go. No, the Holy Spirit's bringing revelation to you saying, hey, there's some stuff we got to deal with. And I think it's real, and you know what? God is leading us to reach people like never before, but, man, we can't be vessels of healing when we're bleeding ourselves. Amen, somebody? And so I really believe the Holy Spirit wants to minister healing to his people, to you and to me, so that we can truly operate and walk in and be the agents of healing and transformation that he's called us to be in this community. Amen, somebody? Okay. Here's the good news. Jesus, the great shepherd, has promised to restore our wounded, weary, stressed out, and burnt out souls. Jesus, in John chapter 10, calls himself, he said, I am the great shepherd. David writes Psalm 23 about Jesus without even realizing it, because he says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I have everything I need. And as the great shepherd, in verse 3, he promises to refresh and to restore our souls. Okay? He promises to refresh and to restore our soul. And so the question I want to ask again, how's your soul? How's your soul? Does it need refreshed? Is it depleted? Is it? I'm not talking about heaven and hell. I'm not talking about you're saved, you're not saved. That's not what I mean. How's your soul? Is it? Are you on E? Are you depleted? Are you tapped out? Then we need to ask the shepherd to refresh and to restore us. And he's promised to. Now, here's how. You say, well, how does he do that? Here's a couple of things that we got to do. First, I've got to be honest that there's a problem. Amen? For me, if I'm going to experience the great shepherd refreshing my weary, stressed out, burnt out, depleted, on E soul, I've got to admit and be honest, hey, there is a problem somewhere in my soul. And I may not be able to put my finger on it. I may not even be able to recognize it. I may not be able to identify it. I may not be able to even cut away to and know that I can't. I may not even be able to say it was this thing, it was that thing. But I've got to be honest when I say, man, there's just something not right, which is where I've got to pay attention to those red flags. Hey, that's an indicator to me, man. There's something not right in my soul. I need God to move in that. And here's the thing, listen. You can be saved and on your way to heaven, and you can be a wonderful man or woman of God. You can flow in the anointing. You can have God use you. You can know Jesus intimately and deeply and closely. You can have victory in all kinds of other areas of your life. You can be successful in all sorts of other areas of your life and still have a part of your heart, a part of your soul that needs to be fixed. And guys, there's no shame in that. There's no condemnation in that. There's no need to be to be anxious about that. There's no need to try to cover that up. There's no need to try to hide that. Listen, and here's the thing. Here's the thing I've come to grips with. Okay. Rarely do I hide something as good as I think I do. You know what I mean? I might say something to my wife, and I'm like, I'm thinking I'm really being vulnerable. I'm like really opening myself up. I'm like, babe, I really think I really, this is like an area that I really am asking God to help me with, and an area I'm really struggling with. She's never surprised. You know what I mean? She's always like, yeah, duh. You know? Like, and I'm like, oh, you saw through all of my nonsense, and you saw through all of my bullcrap, yeah. And that's how often it is. So the thing is, let me just tell you, you're rarely hiding it as good as you might think you are. So we might as well just be honest about it, and say, man, I got this thing. I don't know what it is. But there is a part of my heart. There is a part of my soul that has been wounded, that has been hurt, that has been depleted, and I need God to refresh it. Amen. That's the first step. If I'm not going to be honest, if I'm not going to be transparent, I'm not going to be vulnerable, I'm not going to be open about it, there will be no healing. Okay? The second thing is I've got to intentionally make him my shepherd. Okay? It says, the Lord is my shepherd, and the shepherd refreshes the souls of his sheep. Amen, somebody? Now listen, I can be saved and on my way to heaven and not really be following the shepherd. Like on a daily basis. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I believe, I mean, you might disagree with me, but I believe, because salvation is won through my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody? And so that's how salvation is won. Now, how much hell I walk through on earth before I get to heaven, that a lot of time is going to be dependent on how much I follow him as my shepherd. Amen? And so I've got to say on a regular basis, Lord, you are my shepherd. And I'm going to surrender, and I'm going to go where you lead. I'm going to go where you guide me. And here's what he say. He says, I'm going to guide you along still waters. And I'm going to guide you along green pastures to lay down in. And some of you might say, well, man, I got to get going. I got to make things happen. I got to move. I got things to do. I don't have time to know. Well, the shepherd might say, you know what? For me to refresh your soul, you got to get quiet for a minute. You got to take some time to calm yourself. Amen, somebody? The shepherd might lead us to a hurtful place, or not a hurtful place, but lead us to remember some stuff. And he's not leading it there. The shepherd's not leading us there because he wants to bring you into more trauma. He's leading you there going, hey, this is an area we got to talk about. This is an area I want to heal. Amen, somebody? And I got to be willing to let him lead me into those places. And what's the rest of that part say? Hey, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid because you are close beside me. There are times the shepherd might need to walk us through some of those dark valleys that we are trying to stay away from, and we're building walls around and we're building gates around that we don't ever want to walk through some of those dark valleys again. But it wounded my soul. So the shepherd might say, man, I can't heal you the way I want to unless I let you walk through that again. But I'm your shepherd, and I'm holding your hand, and I'm walking with you. Amen? So I got to make him my shepherd. I got to follow him. I got to surrender to him. And then the third thing is this. Listen, I've got to start with the Word of God. I've got to get the Word of God in front of me. Amen? Listen, Psalm 19:7, just a couple chapters in front of this psalm, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The law, the Word of God, has a refreshing ability on our soul. Amen? Now listen, there may be trauma, there may be stress, there may be depletion levels, there may be wounds that are so deep that I might need more than just a scripture or two once in a while. Okay? There might be some stuff I need to seek professional help with. Okay? There's no shame in that. There may be some stuff I need to have a little deeper, but I'm saying, and so there's no shame in that, and we're going to talk about some of that even next week, actually. But listen, there will be no refreshing of the soul that doesn't include the Word of God. The Word is going to be the starting point. And here's why that's so key. Here's why it's so key. And I'm saying, I might need more. I really am trying. I don't want to just feed this to you as like, well, because I don't believe, there are some things you can't just read your Bible and pray enough to get over. Amen? There are some things we need more than just prayer and scripture, okay? But I will definitely need prayer and scripture no matter what. Amen, somebody? The Word, and here's why the Word is so important, okay? The Word of God, keeping that in front of me and making that my starting position and making that my foundation and making that where I go to first and where the foundation of whatever else I seek and whatever else God leads me to get healing and refreshing, where it has to be based in the truth is because this, the Word of God brings God's truth to my life. It gets me out of my own reality. It gets my eyes off of the world's reality. It gets my eyes off of the crazy stuff. It gets my eyes off of all the things that seem so prevalent and seem so real and seem so true. And it brings me back and grounds me into God's truth. Amen, somebody? Because if I look at the world's reality and I look at secular reality and I look at the news and I just look at all the things happening around me, if that's all I'm looking for, I will begin to say, man, the world's lost its mind. I'm the only sane person left. I'm the only person here. I'm all alone. Nobody else is dealing with this. Nobody else is struggling with this. But God's truth reminds you, no, you're not alone. The shepherd's right here with you. God's truth will remind you, there's no temptation that's common to man. Meaning, all of us deal with the same stuff. Amen? Some of you thought you were the only person that couldn't get enough sleep. Some of you walked in here this morning thinking there was something wrong with you. And there is, but it's the same thing that's wrong with all of us. We're all, I refuse to say we're all in it together. I'm not going to say that because we've heard that 2 minutes over the last 2 years. But we're all in it together. We're all struggling in the same thing. We're all dealing with the same stuff. It may manifest in different ways. Some people might cry and hide. Some people yell and scream. But it's all a lot of the same roots. And your shepherd, Jesus, wants to refresh your soul. Amen? We're going to end this in this a little different this morning. Before we do this, I want to let you know, if you're not signed up for either text messages or emails, if you've never gotten an email from Red Life Church, this week would be a really good week to do it, because through this series, every single week, Monday or Tuesday, I'm going to email and text some links to, I think, some really helpful resources that the other Lord has been talking about. I've got a Bible reading plan. It's a 5-day Bible reading plan I'm going to send you guys this week that gives you scripture and gives you some devotionals to look at that deal with allowing God to bring health to our souls, okay? And I got some other stuff over the next couple weeks, some links to some really great apps and websites and other resources, and I want you to have those, okay? And so I'm going to send those out through our texting and through email. So again, if you're not signed up, go to redlifechurch.com. You can text for texting and get text updates. You can text one word, the Red Life, to 88202, okay? 88202, one word, the Red Life. That'll get you plugged in, and that's it. I want to put some stuff in your hands to go beyond just this moment right now. But here's what we're going to do today. Will you stand all over this place this morning? I just want to pray and lead us in a simple prayer. But I want to invite Jesus to be our shepherd and to refresh our souls. Can we do that today? Will you just close your eyes? Just as a way to focus. And if you can, if you're comfortable, I would even challenge you to even do it if you're uncomfortable. But if you can lift your hands and just raise your hands, that's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of openness. It's a sign that says, Lord, I'm open to you. I'm open to your presence. I'm open to your spirit. Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, I just ask you in this moment, help us, every single one of us, God, from young to old. Lord, I pray that you would help us make you our shepherd like never before. Lord, we've been saved. We know we're on our way to heaven, some of us, many of us, most of us probably in this room. But Lord, maybe we're struggling following you day to day, hour to hour, step to step. Maybe we've seen you try to lead us to some place. Lord, right now we're committing and we're asking you to be the great shepherd that your word has promised that you are. We just pray. I'm going to lead you right now. I'm going to ask you just to repeat these words after me. We're going to take a little time, take a little pause, allow the Holy Spirit some space to breathe life into our souls as we pray this. Repeat this after me. Say, Lord, I come to you, my shepherd, in need of a refreshing in my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Restore my heart. Renew my mind. Refresh my emotions. Take the lead in my life. I will follow you to still waters and green pastures. Because you are my shepherd, you take care of my every need. I rest in that truth, Lord. I rest in that truth. Take a second and just rest. Take a second and just rest in that truth. In that truth.
is your shepherd. He is leading you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stretch your hands this way. Receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord, your shepherd, the restorer, the refresher of your soul, give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.